He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
I want to pick up right where we left off. Dr. Brown and I were talking about a measles outbreak again. This time it was on a train last month. It was an Amtrak train where somebody had had it, but then exposed other passengers on the train, but was actually vaccinated for measles. And so, Dr. Brown, I want to pick up that story because not only did we have so many questions about how could this happen, how could somebody vaccinated for measles still get it and then expose others, but also we're hearing about more outbreaks happening, including in Texas, where there's more than 400 cases right now. And like free clinics to get their vaccines are shutting down. So measles still seems to be a top story. So what do you got for us?
Absolutely. and it's not surprising. So yeah, I think so far the most surprising thing is having someone who's had have actually had the vaccine and then ended up getting it. And as we mentioned last week, this is a real possibility. It really doesn't, it's a very effective vaccine. We don't use it as much as we used to. Let me explain what that means. We use it, but we use it sort of as routine vaccines. We don't use it as a mechanism to prevent outbreaks. So there is a real possibility of those who haven't been tested to see if they still have immunity. We don't really go around testing people to see if they actually have it. It's supposed to last lifelong, but again, as life continues to move forward, there is a possibility that it can decrease. And the concern about that is that the more people who get exposed to measles, the more likely you're going to end up having a vaccine, what we'd say, failure.
Mm. And it's interesting, Dr. Brown, I was reading that with more than 500 cases, this year is already the third most active year for measles since 2000, according to our national records. I was looking at, they've got an active U.S. measles map. I found it. And overwhelmingly, it seems like Texas has the most cases, the majority of them, actually, 422 of them. The closest ones to us, it looks like one in Rhode Island, one in Vermont, four in New York, another three in New Jersey. I haven't seen any in Connecticut, surprisingly. Do you feel like that's underreported? Do you think that we might have seen it, but we just haven't reported it yet? Or do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty accurate. I mean, there is always a possibility that it's underreported. It does in a lot of people. It is a mild illness, so that is a possibility.
Okay.
So you may have to add a little bit more in there, but in general, we keep a real close eye on people who end up having measles, and then once we identify someone with measles, then we do tracking to see who's been exposed and the other people who've developed it.
So again, we've got Dr. Brown here, and Dr. Brown, I would imagine, as we always talk about the importance of getting vaccinated, but it's interesting. I know he's become a real controversial figure. I'm not asking if you like him or don't like him. I'm not asking about political, but I think one of the big takeaways with the health secretary, RFK, is to ask your doctor what's actually in your vaccines. I know there's constantly a narrative of he's an anti-vaxxer. Okay, he does support vaccines. Maybe he doesn't. And I know it causes a lot of concern, I would think, for doctors who are like, look, vaccination can prove to be very effective, especially when you talk about measles, for example. But what do you think about just making sure that, yes, people certainly, I think, get educated on what is actually going in their bodies. I think, for example, is aluminum in the vaccine? Or are there metals in the vaccine that could be impacting things? I think it's worth asking your doctor, like, can you ask for an ingredient list? Is that even something you can do?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You absolutely can, and say is there mercury? Is there, I would always say, and you and I talk about this quite a bit, Melissa, just take it from the standpoint of the reality. There's more mercury in a can of tuna than there is in a vaccine that you're going to get once in a lifetime. So you just need to make sure that you're looking at sort of what pieces are there, what aspects are related to what you're dealing with and what you're asking. So let's kind of break down a little bit about this outbreak, because even though we may have the views of RFK Jr., he didn't, he's only just started. So why are we all of a sudden seeing a measles outbreak? And I think there's a couple things. And again, this is my opinion, so just so we're clear. But I think it, as you hear, will probably make sense. The one is that, you know, people are kind of sick of vaccines.
Yeah.
You know, after COVID, you ended up having a lot of people who are like, you know, why are we getting all these vaccines? You know, this is, you know, we were forced to get the vaccine. Now I'm just not going to get any vaccine.
Right.
You know, which we know happens. I mean, I've been doing medicine for a long time. The more you tell someone to do something, the more
they're like, no, we're all set with that. Thanks.
We're good. So that's one aspect of it. The second aspect is that we haven't seen measles in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we see an occasional outbreak, but even then, I mean, we see, you know, 400, you know, even in the country, you know, this could, by next year, could be forgotten. I mean, 400 is still not a big number.
Right.
However, we forgot about what measles is and what measles, what it can do and how it can kill our children, which is sort of the big issue that we're concerned about. I mean, you can get it and you can get sick from it, but it also can be deadly to children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always been the big focus on it. And the third thing that we forget because of the other two is that it is a very infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the most infectious diseases that are out there. So that means any exposure can lead to outbreaks, especially if you're not vaccinated.
Yeah, and again, I mean, the numbers don't lie, as Dr. Brown was saying. With more than 500 cases, sure, that's a small amount when you look at the population of America. But 2025 is already the third most active year for measles since 2000. So in 25 years, we, other than two other years somewhere in there, we haven't seen levels this high. So you got to take note of it, and you know, you really got to look at weighing the pros and cons, as Dr. Brown said, talking to your doctor and understanding the effectiveness of being vaccinated. More than 200 passengers got sick with neurovirus. This was on a luxury cruise ship that left England and sailed to New York in the Caribbean before returning back to the United Kingdom. The CDC says a sweeping neurovirus outbreak was reported in late March and has since infected 241 people on board. We have Dr. Brown here. And I got to be honest, Dr. Brown, when I saw this, I literally thought I was in the Twilight Zone. I thought we went back to March of 2020 when the ships were totally taken over. Now, of course, that was COVID. But I thought, man, we haven't heard about outbreaks like this in 4 or 5 years. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And, you know, we have seen a pretty rough year with neurovirus or neuro-like virus in the off season. So a lot of people have kind of assorted illness related to this GI bug. So this is a combination of severe nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea.
Mm.
Usually lasts a few days, but is, you know, knocks people out. I mean,
it's brutal. It's brutal. I myself have been a victim to this in the last 6 months. It is nasty. You know, and I would imagine, I've been on cruises. In fact, I was just on one in February. It is so easier in such close quarters. And there's you know, there is outdoor space, obviously, but there's really nowhere to escape. You're in the middle of the ocean. So, I mean, how easy is it for this to spread on a cruise ship?
It's very easy. And that's sort of the unfortunate thing, is not only is it easy to spread, but it's also hard to get rid of. Because it is. So that means it can get on surfaces, it is infectious, you know, so it can contaminate food, it can contaminate hands, it can contaminate everything, and then just getting to the right areas. So, and you can see, I guess one of the best ways, I think the good things, if you are going to go on a cruise, one of the best predictors of a possible outbreak is to determine if the cruise ship you're going on has had it before.
Oh, how do you determine that? I mean, can you call the company and ask?
You can actually go to the CDC.
Oh!
The CDC,
so you just go to their website and they have that?
They do. It's called the Vessel Sanitation Program.
Whoa. Wow,
and
you did your research. Hold on a minute. What is it?
I mean,
I'm not getting on a cruise anytime soon, but I probably am going to book another one in the next year. So wait, what is it?
It's called the CDC.
Yeah.
CDC.gov.
Okay.
And it's called the Vessel Sanitation Program.
All right. Did you get that at home? Okay. I think that's important to note. All right. Cool.
And then what you can do is you can actually cruise, and you can cruise. Sorry. No pun intended.
No, that's good. I like it.
You can cruise the website and you can determine if the ship that you're going to be traveling on has had previous outbreaks.
Wow.
And listen, I'm not saying don't take it if you have, but just be aware that, you know, cruise ships, because they're so large, because they have so many people, because they cycle through, they are going to be at potential higher risks. So again, knowing that you might be on a cruise ship that has had previous outbreaks, the likelihood that it's going to have it again is pretty good. And if you go to that website, you can actually look at not only the outbreaks that are currently occurring in 2025, but you can look at 2019 to 2024. And if you look through that, you can see that the Cunard Line Queen Mary 2 is actually listed in 2021 and December of 21st, 2024, not only in 2025. And this is the one that's there, previous ones. So
this is really interesting. And by the way, just for peace of mind for people, you also can go to the, because I'm on it right now, the CDC.gov website, and you can also find on there, a lot, inspecting cruise ships, monitoring data, what you can do, tips for healthy cruising, all that. But I mean, I'm looking at just the 2025 outbreaks. I didn't even realize. And what's amazing here is the majority of them are neurovirus outbreaks. And I loved how you said neuro-like virus. I love that. That's so true. Because a lot of people think, oh, I had it, but it isn't, in fact, neurovirus. But there are a lot of ships just this year that have had it, just in 2025.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It hasn't been that long.
No, it has not. It's only April.
Going on the fourth month.
Welcome to April, Dr. Brown. That's amazing. I didn't even realize this was something. I'm going to link this to your podcast on our website. I think it's important for people, especially because, I mean, we talk to AAA all the time, and cruise interest has gone up substantially in the last couple of years, especially for Connecticut residents. A lot of people like to cruise. They feel like the deals are really great, and they're kind of still revenge traveling after the pandemic. So I think this is a resource people should know about and get familiar with. So
absolutely.
I appreciate it.
And as you pointed out, there's also, I mean, it's norovirus is clearly the predominant causative agent, but you're right. There's other things that are on here. There's salmonella outbreaks. There's
E. coli
another
one.
Outbreaks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm seeing it. I'm reading it right here. Dr. Brown, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for what you do and for always sharing this insight here on WICC.